Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington, an original shark from the hit television show Shark Tank, and you're listening to the Underdog Podcast. I've been too high up to fall, question marks, what's up with y'all? All we know is overtime, barking like some underdogs. All we know is overtime,
barking like some underdogs. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Underdog Podcast. Today, I have an incredible guest here with me. Andrew, how are you, my friend?
I am fantastic. I am very excited to be here.
I am so excited to have you. And how cool is it to see each other at this point in time, working on all these incredible deals and all the things. And when we met each other way back when, we were both kind of like, in the starting phase of things, and we knew each other through acquaintances, you know, through acquaintances and friends. And like, here we are doing a podcast. Like, this is like the coolest thing in the world for me.
Yeah. And we're both local investors. We're both making it happen. I love it.
It's so cool. And I can't wait to get into like how you got into this incredible world of yours. Cause every time I see you on Instagram, man, you're like closing a deal. I'm like, damn, you closed again. Go, Andrew, go. Like, so fun. And I know that there are so many people that are listening that are going to be interested in the multifamily and the syndication and all that. So we'll get into all that. But before we get into all this magic that you have now created, my friend, I want to know Andrew's story. So question for you, like, what did you want to be as a kid growing up? Like, what was your dream?
My dream was to not rely on anybody. I think when my parents asked me what I wanted to be when I grow up, I told them I want to be a millionaire. That's what I think I told them that. So I've always sought time freedom. But at my infancy, I really followed other people's paths. And it really took me over a decade of being in the workforce to really find my own journey.
I love that, Andrew. And I can't wait to dive really into that. But I love that you're living out your childhood dream, my friend, if you realize this or not. Like, how cool is that? Like, you said that as a kid and like, here you are full circle. It's pretty incredible. And building that wealth and that dream of financial freedom through what you're doing now, which is so, so cool. So walk me through like, you know, like high school and kind of like into college and like all those years and then into workforce. Because I'd love to hear the story of how you got to where you got to.
So, I mean, you make a lot of good points, like manifestation and creation is a powerful thing. And we have so much more power than we think we do, right? And it's just crazy to see the person I was to the person I am now. But to your point, growing up, like, I honestly had a really tough childhood. I mean, I had no friends. I escaped into video games. I was diagnosed with ADHD. They gave me around 60 milligrams of Adderall when I was in third grade. Right? Like an 80-pound kid. So I was just zonked out. I couldn't talk with anybody. I literally had like one friend through most of elementary school. So, you know, as a result, I really was very antisocial and, you know, it was a very low point in my life. I mean, at that point, I think I was actually contemplating suicide a couple of times. I didn't really like go through with anything, but the thoughts did go through my mind. But as I grew up and I really found myself, I think I got into high school. I weaned myself off of Adderall. I started playing sports. I started developing some friends. I started getting over some of my antisocial tendencies. I think at that point I found cannabis and it really helped me kind of get my head on my shoulder and really kind of start doing better in school. And then at that point I kind of ascended to going to school, going through the normal American dream like everybody else does. Like your parents push you to do, like get a good education, you know, get a good job, work at a prestigious institution, make six figures, buy a nice swanky condo in Boston. Like I essentially followed everybody else's path. I did what everybody else said I should do, right? And then come around COVID, and at that point, I really had to look myself in the mirror and see like, is this really the life that I wanted to create? Like, and that's when I found the great purple book, which I know I'm sure you're aware of, the Rich Dad Poor Dad, right? And when I found that book, it really opened my eyes to the power of real estate. And at that point, my net worth was around $250,000. $200,000 of which of my net worth was in this one bedroom condo I bought 5 years ago that I completely forgot about. Took me literally a decade in the workforce, you know, making six figures to build $50,000. And at that point, I thought, like, is this really the path to retirement? Am I really going to escape the grind? And at that point, I decided I really had to make a change. I really had to change the status quo. Because, you know, at this stage, it's going to, you know, a 30 to 40 year time horizon scared me more than actually taking a dive, going bankrupt and starting all over again. Right. So at that point, I took a HELOC, a home line of credit on my one bedroom condo in Boston for $200,000, 80% of my net worth. And I use that to start buying as much multifamily as I possibly can about 3 years ago.
That's incredible. And Andrew, thank you so much for sharing all of that too. I mean, that's powerful, powerful stuff. And, you know, when it comes, you mentioned a couple of things that I really want to backtrack on is like the mindset and manifestation thing, because something shifted in you to move from workforce into making that risk, right? Because we all know the whole difference between good and great is execution, right? And you actually went out there and you executed, which I think is incredibly powerful. But you know how many people are stuck in analysis paralysis where they know they want to do this new thing, but they somehow can't bring themselves to do it. So I would love to hear kind of like your thought process and what really helped you and the things that you did to really make that shift and that transition to actually go in there and actually say, you know what, I'm going to go get this HELOC. I'm going to go get this first deal kind of thing. Cause there's a lot of people stuck in that in between that now they see it, right? It's right here, but somehow they just can't take the step forward to go and do it.
And during my progression through the corporate ladder, I very much like was a dreamer. Like I ended up getting my master's. I think I did my master thesis on creating a business, right? But I always dreamed of it and I never actually did it. And at a certain point, you know, I really had to come face to face and look myself in the mirror and figure out like, if I continue on the same path, I'm going to continue the same status quo. Is this the life I want to build, right? And that actually scared me more than taking action and taking the leap. And I think a lot of people have to ask themselves that question, like, is the current life you live now what you want your life to be like 5 years now, 10 years from now? Because if it is, keep doing what you're doing, right? If it's not the life you want, make a change, do something different, right? And that's exactly what I ended up doing. And I'm so glad I did that. And I mean, just going back to some of my earlier points, like, honestly, there's no regret throughout my life. Like, I am so happy that I had such low points early in my life because, as you know, like, to be great, you have to face adversity. And I'm happy I faced adversity so young in my timeline. It didn't take me until like 30, 40, 50, you know, for that, you know, midlife crisis to actually face that, you know, that challenge. So,
absolutely. And I mean, I think a lot of this has to do with mindset. So I'd love to hear this because listen, one of the most powerful things I've ever heard in my life, and I never really connected these two worlds until I was sitting in a conference and Tony Robbins is speaking and he goes up there and he's like, well, a lot of you guys might agree with this. The successful ones do. He's like, and everyone else, I don't know. It might play in your mind. And he literally says, business is a spiritual thing. And I was like, right? It's all about mindset and all that. How open you are determines how open your bank account is, how many zeros you've got there, right? So I would love to hear kind of the mindset and the things that helped you kind of shift into that mindset of abundance and like releasing that fear of like taking those action steps forward, right? And making those first leaps into doing what you're doing. So I'd love to hear kind of the things that helped you.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, when I really changed from the whole mindset of a scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset, that's where my net worth kind of exploded. Like, yeah. Prior to that, I thought I was going to save myself the financial freedom. I thought I was going to put my money in stocks and put it in other people's hands to get myself there. And then when I realized like that's not a feasible way to actually achieve growth, and you actually have to go to an abundance mindset and a growth mindset and take ownership of your own financial health, that's when my life really blossomed. And the biggest tip that I learned to really help me grow to the level I'm at is the more value you provide to the world, the more the world will provide back, right? So if I just provide endless value to the world and expect nothing in return, I know the world will give it back to me. Maybe I provide value to somebody who's that person doesn't give it back to me, but I know it will come back in another form, in another way. And if you have that confidence and you have that belief in the universe, abundance will come your way.
I absolutely love that. I absolutely love that. Oh my gosh. I love hearing the mindset stuff because that's the stuff that really helps you break forward and create those neurological pathways to create room for change and these new habits and breaking those fears, because fear is the number one thing stopping us from the things that we want to do in this life. So it's so cool to hear your perspective and really the things that helped you kind of shift into that abundance mindset, if you will. And so getting back to your HELOC that you did for the first time. So what was that first deal? Like, tell me about that. So what was the process like for you to get that HELOC? Because maybe there's somebody listening right now that's like, I know, I'm right there. I'm right there where Andrew was. Like, what did he do? You know?
Yeah. So at that point, I went to the bank. I went to, I think, Citizens Bank. I asked them for a line of credit. At that point, I had around 200,000 of equity in my property. I told them I wanted a line of credit. They, I applied for it. They did an appraisal. And this is a really big tip. Whenever you get a line of credit or a refinance, or you always want to fight the appraisal. Even if it comes in high, you always, because the worst they're going to do is say no, right? And I didn't do that for that HELOC. I did that for other HELOCs. But I have fought appraisals on refinances. I have fought appraisals on lines of credit. And I've literally increased the value of the property by hundreds of thousands of dollars. So for this particular property, thankfully, I didn't have to do that. They valued it very, very high. And I just took it. And at that point, I got my line of credit. I got pre-approved from a lender for a house hack, a three-family house hack. And at that point, I really was adamant about finding a 3 to 4 unit property to house hack in Boston. At that point during COVID, it was extremely competitive. I was losing out on cash offers left and right. After 30 to 40 losses, I was like, I got to make a change. I got to do something different, right? And then at that point, I decided, all right, let me look at a market that has a lot of multifamily in Massachusetts, right? So I looked in the MLS. There were really two markets that had a ton of multifamily: Brockton, Massachusetts, and Worcester, Massachusetts. So Brockton, Massachusetts produces the highest level of champion level boxes, right? So I'm not going to really say much more than that, but it's not the easiest market to play in, right? So I actually decided to go to Worcester, and I ended up finding a three family in Worcester. I did an FHA loan. I think I took $40,000 from my line of credit. I bought it for $560,000, a 3-unit property. The mortgage on that was $3,200. Two of the units rented for $3,200, and then I lived in the third for free. Well, no, I mean, plus, you know, the phantom expenses, CapEx, vacancy, repair, maintenance of all that stuff. But primarily is way cheaper than me in that condo. And then I kept that condo and threw a renter in there. So that's kind of was my first start in getting into real estate.
That's amazing. So that's for anyone who's listening that has never heard the term house hack before, that's exactly what it is. It means that your tenants pay your mortgage. And then pretty much it's not like, yeah, you kind of live for free, right? You don't really have to kick anything in. But then the idea is on that last unit that you have, that it has this thing called cash flow, which is the most important thing you could ever know in real estate, right? So basically that's the income that property is generating for you every single month, which is so, so cool. So basically you went out and you bought like an owner occupied property, utilizing your line of credit on your existing, and essentially took it from there. That is so cool. That's exactly what I did too.
Yeah. And I moved into the absolute worst unit there, and I rented out the nicer ones. So I recommend that as well.
Love that, Andrew. Love that. And then, now I can't even remember how many deals are you at now? Just because I'm trying to get to from that one to whatever you're at now. Where are we now?
So I closed in that December 2020. And since then, I think I'm up to around 150 units, and I have 100 more units under contract at this moment.
Holy cow. And that's in the last 3 years?
That's in the last 3 years. That is correct. Yes.
So you've acquired an average of 50 units per year.
Well, that's not how it happened, right? So I think my first year, I think I got up to 7 units. And then my second year, I think I got up to 18 units. And then my third year, I got up to 100 plus units. So it was a quick progression. And it really kind of, it really revolved around the fact that when I first started, I was a one-man show. I used all my own money, and I pretty much relied on myself. And then I started to dabble in partnerships, joint ventures, and working with people on commercial properties, right? Just partnering people 50-50 and things like that. And then when I really learned how to partner and utilize other people's money, that's when I really scaled in that third year. So it was really a progression over time that allowed me to scale. It didn't go 50-50-50. It was kind of an exponential growth.
That's incredible. That's incredible. And for anyone who's listening, to take that leap between the two worlds of going from like 7 and then beyond, like, what were some of the most important things that you had learned during that process, and any tips that you would give to anybody who's thinking about like, okay, like I want to invest in multifamily real estate. Okay. Like I really want to scale things up. Like what are some of like the most important tips throughout the way?
Create your systems at your infancy. Even if you own one unit, get your contractor Rolodex in place. Get all your tenants on electronic payment. You know, have systems in place. Get electronic locks on the property. Get systems in place to save your time. Additionally, hire a bookkeeper, right? Like, don't be doing books. Just pay it, right? Hire it out. And the other thing to scaling that I would highly recommend is figure out what things take away energy from you and hire it out or eliminate it, right? Focus on things that bring you energy and delegate things that take energy away from you. Because at the end of the day, it really scale, you want to be sitting in your genius, and you're not sitting in your genius if you're sitting in things that take energy away from you.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. Like anything else, right? Because if you're wearing a million different hats, you don't even know where your head is at, you know? So you want to make sure that you're working on the areas that are going to give you that scale, that income to really keep going, right? Like you should be only doing income generating things, if you will, in your business, and also focusing on the things that you like. Because the minute that you do something you don't like, things start to head backwards, right? You wear too many hats, you're exhausted, because then you can't do the things that you're super good at. Yeah. And you literally, and that's what happens, right? Like you were saying, you're a one-man show, and you get to a certain like ceiling that it's like you plateau. And it's happened to me in my businesses too. Like it's like you go so far so fast, right? And you're, but then you end up getting, you know, then you have a mental toll on this, right? Because everything has a cost, right? And either it's going to cost you time, it's going to cost you money, right? And if it costs you your time, usually your mental health and sometimes physical goes along with that. So you really want to be conscious of where you're expending your energy, like you said, which I think is super important for people to know.
Yeah, then, I mean, the other thing that really allowed me to scale quickly is to find my yin to my yang, right? You want to find that partner that is a genius at the things you're not great at, and you're a genius at the things that they aren't great at. Because together, it's like 1 + 1 = 10, you know? And that's exactly what happened to me. I ended up finding my partner, Zach Gray. You know, he essentially is fantastic at all the things I do not like doing, and I am fantastic at all the things he isn't great at. Like, I'm really good at back office things. I'm really good at project management, keeping things like on track. And he's really good at like, you know, tenant communications. He's really good at like talking with investors, raising money from investors. He's really good at like boots on the ground, making sure things happen, you know, dealing with contractors. So we really match well, that a lot, and it really allowed us to scale exponentially.
I absolutely love that. And the yin to the yang, I mean, it's super important. You can't have two people that are doing the same thing on a team. It's just not going to work, right? Like one of the most important things that I've ever heard was, so Barbara Corcoran, she was speaking at an event, and this was like really early in my real estate career. She's like, you know, one of the reasons why, you know, we did so well in my brokerage is because there was a visionary and then there was the operator, right? There was one, she's like, I was the one who was going out there, the face of it all, right? Connecting people, the extroverted one, doing all the things, being the face of the business. Meanwhile, my partner was behind the scenes on the operations and like working diligently on every single detail and all that. She's like, I couldn't do this myself. She said, you know, when I built the Corcoran Group, there's no way. She's like, I wouldn't have been able to sit behind the scenes and do that. My partner was the queen in that, and I was the queen on the other side. And together, we created this yin and yang. Like you said, so that is incredibly powerful. And that was literally Barbara Corcoran shared. That was her secret sauce in building her first business that was then acquired for like $60 million+, you know? So it's really powerful when you bring these worlds together, meaning like you need a team. It cannot be done alone. It just can't. It can't, you know? And so going about, you know, kind of like, maybe there's somebody right now that's hitting a plateau that's listening, Andrew, like what would be your recommendation in going out there to find that other kind of yin to the yang kind of partner, and really what to look for?
Well, if it's in real estate, you definitely want to be going to as many real estate meetups as possible and gaining connections there, because that's where I've met a lot of my best partners, my best lenders, my best contractors are at these meetups, these people making it happen. Right. Another really good strategy, which has helped me partner on deals, is finding other people in your market doing what you are doing at this similar level and creating a local mastermind. Right. Mm. Like I did that where I found five or six people all with a similar level amount of units, all in the Worcester market. You know, we end up meeting weekly, going over our goals, our highs and our lows, talking about our deals. And from that one mastermind, I closed on 100 units. Right. Additionally, now I'm doing that with another local mastermind where I have, you know, three people all with 100+ units in the Massachusetts area who meet every week, right? And now I'm getting a 40-unit portfolio in Worcester from one of those people as well that I'm partnering on, right? So that's another really powerful strategy. Surround yourself around people doing what you want to do, and the secret sauce is right there. It's just a copy and paste. It's not rocket science. Real estate is very repeatable. All you have to do is see somebody doing what you want to do day in and day out on copy and paste. It's that simple.
Love that. It's the power of the brains. Because again, like we said, like you plateau at a certain level. And then all of a sudden, when you're in this group think and you're with these other minds, like collectively, the places that you could go further, faster together. You want to turn decades into days. That's how you bring in like-minded individuals, and you kind of crank that. I love that. That is so cool. And that's such a beautiful way to really allocate that. As I always say, like 100% of zero is still
zero.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
So like, what are you trying to do everything for? In the long run, you're actually losing thousands of dollars. I learned that the hard way, right? You know, growing up with foreign parents that are like, no, I'm going to do it myself. And it's not their fault, but deeply ingrained in them was the scarcity mindset, because coming to this country with nothing, you know? So it's like a whole lot of things that they have to reprogram. But it's like, that's the arena that I was growing up in. So for a long time, I was that person that I was like, I'm going to do it myself. And I want to do this. And then I'm looking back and I'm like, why is everybody who's like billionaires, they're all super collaborative. I'm like, they own all these businesses. Like, how the hell do they, you know, and then going into the world and learning all of that. So it's super cool to see how important these JVs and all these partnerships are. And, you know, GP, LP, all these different structures are super important, because they can make, you know, only a little piece of a lot of things makes you extraordinarily wealthy in the long run, right?
Totally. Absolutely.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. It's so cool. I can go down a whole rabbit hole with all that stuff. But back to your zone of genius, which is the multifamily sector. And there's a lot of people that are interested in investing in this world, Andrew. So, like, what are some of the top things that you look for that you think is critically important when you're looking at these deals?
One of the top things I look for is a mismatch between bedroom count and square footage, right? So if I'm seeing one beds all at 1,000 square feet, I know for a fact that I can squeeze maybe one, two bedrooms more in there for $5,000 of carpentry work, right? So I really look for a mismatch between square footage and bedroom count in a particular unit. I also look for, you know, tenants being month to month, and there's being a large delta between market rents and where current rents are at, combined with getting a good price per unit relative to the area. And that's important, relative to the area. You know, Springfield, as you know, Springfield, Massachusetts, things normally hit the 2% rule. So yeah, I mean, things may look great up there, but everything looks great. You have to make sure it looks great in conjunction with that particular market. Same with Worcester, same with Boston, right? So I mean, those are some simple practices, I would say, that people can utilize to really find deals in this marketplace.
Love that, Andrew. Can we walk through a few of your deals or anything that you want to share on a couple of fun ones that you've done? Because you know they're all fun, everyone.
So I'm gonna walk you through a scenario where I took zero of my money and turned it into around $500,000-$600,000. All right. So remember
that. I'm taking notes. And anyone who's listening, take notes. Andrew's going in.
So remember that HELOC I opened up a while ago, right?
Yep.
After that house hack, I still had about $160,000 on it. At the point during COVID, I think I was borrowing at a 3%. My mentor was putting together a local syndication, 132-unit building in Lowell, Massachusetts. So he was offering a 15 to 20% return on the money. So my mind's like, I'm borrowing at 3. I could put in this pot of money, get 15 to 20%. It's a no freaking brainer, right? So yep. I ended up taking $65,000 from my line of credit. Remember, that's not my money. That's the bank's money, right?
Yep.
I put that into this syndication as a limited partner. I only brought the money. And a year later, that property sold for an 89% return. So I think I got my 65 back, and then I got about 60, 70,000 bucks, right? What did I do with that money? I ended up partnering with my partner as of today on a 5-unit building in Worcester, Massachusetts. We split it 50-50. We bought it for $650,000. I think current rent around $3,500 on that fiveplex. We ended up getting a construction loan on it. After about 6 months, we got the rents from $3,500 to around $8,500 per month, about $9,000, $8,500, $9,000 per month. So at that point, we increased the value of that property from $650 to around $905,910. So what did we do there? I went back to the bank, the same bank that gave me the loan, and I got another line of credit, because when you want to get a line of credit on a commercial property, it's way easier to get it from the bank who has the first lien. And that's exactly what we did. We took out another line of credit for $156,000, and we essentially got all of our money back. And we took that money, and then we transitioned that into a nineplex in West Warwick, Rhode Island. And we got that nineplex for around $715,000. It's 4 gutted units and needs about $190,000 worth of work. After everything is said and done, that thing's gonna be worth around $1.3 million. Not only that, it comes with an extra parcel that we can sell for $200,000 to $300,000. right? Remember, I own this 50-50 with a partner, but that's literally me taking zero of my money, the bank's money, and turning that into $500,000 to $600,000 in net worth.
That's insane. That's so cool. And I mean, the way that you, when you can leverage like that is when you can compound at a ridiculous level. I love that, Andrew. And I love the creativity behind it. Cause I mean, it's, this is like what, with all within a 4-year time span, roughly?
This was all within a three-year time span.
Oh my God. Even more amazing. 3-year time span. That's so, so freaking cool. Oh my God. And you were able to leverage that. And I mean, it's taking something that it's here at 3% and then you flipped it into what it is now, which is incredible. I mean, I don't even know what the percent is on that from.
and think about it, that was 3 deals, right? I've done a lot more deals in that time frame. So, I mean, don't get me wrong, that was one of my best deals, I'm not going to lie, but real estate is very powerful for creating a wealth nonetheless.
That's why it creates the most millionaires on this planet. Oh my gosh. I love that, Andrew. Oh my gosh, man. And oh man, there's so many things. So, and this is my favorite question. And I always save the best for last for this exact reason. But like, what would your older self tell your younger self based on what you know now? And this could be in business, it could be in real estate, it could be personal, it could be whatever comes to mind.
I would say my older self would tell my younger self to stop being a know-it-all dummy. Like the main thing on why I've been able to achieve the level of that I've been able to achieve is because I've been a lifelong learner and I'm extremely coachable. And when I do something wrong, I openly admit it to the world, because, you know, that's really what held me back is growing up, you know, having to get good grades, having to be perfect in school, like being scared of failure. Because as you know, entrepreneurs, they're the best at failure, because they know true failure is only when you quit. Right. But when you never quit, you never fail.
Right. Amen. And it's really like failure is just lessons. It's not even really failure, right? Like it's just lessons learned. Okay. Totally. It didn't work out. So, but it always teaches you something. They're like, that didn't work out, but it did teach me that this is, the, you know, so like I always tell people, it's not really where you start. It's really where you finish. Right. Like just because where you're at right now, it's just a bad chapter. It's not a bad book. Right. So just know that you can rewrite every single day. You can get up and say, you know what? I want to close this chapter. I want to write a new one tomorrow in your book, right? Just like you did. You were like, hey man, we're gonna go ahead and create some wealth. We're gonna house hack. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that. Like, you know, you're rewriting your own story and you're manifesting your own reality as well, which is, I think, the most critical thing anyone could ever know in this lifetime.
You're right. I mean, our thoughts create any reality we want. And if you think otherwise, then look at the life you live, because you've created it. So, I mean, I think Jim Carrey mentions it, but you ever hear that story with Jim Carrey and the bike, right? I'll let you tell the story then.
No, I read the one with him about the $5,000, no, the $5 million check that he wrote.
Okay, yeah.
So he wrote a $5 million check to himself for doing, what was the one, the mask?
It was Dumb and Dumber, maybe?
Was it, okay, Dumb and Dumber or The Mask? It was one of the two.
Yeah, yeah.
And he wrote that himself, that check, and he dated it for an X amount date. And it was at that point in time in which he, like by that date, it was like December of whatever year it was, he had gotten a $5 million check for that movie, which I actually, now that you say it, I think it's Dumb and Dumber, which is insane. So he signed it, he dated it, and this was years in advance. And he used to drive up the Hollywood Hills and park and watch and say, like, I'm going to be here someday. Like, that is, there's a whole art to this. I mean, like, and it's the coolest thing. I've heard so many people talk about it and the kind of their befores and afters, and experienced it in my own life too. Like, manifestation is a crazy thing. I love everyone's story of how they incorporate it, though. So I would love to hear, yours, Andrew, on that.
I think my manifestation was, I think I wanted to, when I first got into real estate, I wanted to house hack 10 multifamilies in 10 years. And retiring to beach somewhere. And I think I far exceeded that manifestation. I think within my first like 2 years, it's been a pretty incredible journey. It really has.
That's incredible. And so now, I mean, these 3 years have been at like super speed, but like what's going on in your world in like the next few months? Like what's happening? Like, is there another like 1,000 units coming at this point? At the rate that you're growing, it's amazing.
Yeah. So we're currently expanding our team. We hired a project manager, we hired an executive assistant, we got 3 virtual assistants, we got an assistant project manager, we're going to be taking on an assistant property manager. So we're really growing our team so me and my partner can really focus on the growth activities and not be stuck down in the day-to-day activities. That's kind of the goal right now. I do plan on leaving my W-2 soon as well and really going full into real estate. Because by the way, during all this growth, I still work. I still have a W-2, by the way.
Amazing.
So yeah, so I think that's kind of next steps. I mean, my ultimate goal, I would say 10 years from now, is I want to syndicate 10,000 units. I want to actively own 500 units. I want to travel to 100 countries. I want to write a book, and I want to help 10,000 people reach financial independence. I think that's my long-term play in the next 10 years.
That's so cool. And I can't wait in 10 years when we can replay this episode back and we'll see how far you've exceeded that, my friend. I love that. Oh my gosh, Andrew, you are amazing, my friend. And I know there's people listening right now that are like, how can I get in touch with Andrew? Like, what are your links? Do you have anything we can check out, like website wise, Instagram? Where can we find you and connect with you?
You can connect with me on Instagram at Investor Freed, also on LinkedIn and Facebook at Andrew Freed. I also host some meetups as well in Worcester, Massachusetts, Simplified REI, and host one in New Bedford, Massachusetts, another Simplified REI. So come find me there as well.
You are amazing, Andrew. Thank you so much for this, man. I love when I have conversations with entrepreneurs like you because I just want to run through walls. Afterwards, I'm just like, yeah, man, that's so freaking cool. I love hearing these stories. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
So that's it for today's episode of Underdog. Catch us next week, always dropping on Thursdays. And remember, if you're interested in real estate or want to learn how to create more money and magic in your life, check out meetwithpamela.com and let's chat. Sending you so, so much love. All we know is overtime, working like some underdogs.